Good evening.
It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Table with your host, Eric.
And Fran. It's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Table.
I'm just so excited about tonight. Not only the show, but look, we're not in the great city of Philadelphia. We're down here in Virginia Beach. Amen. So we're excited to still bring you the show. That's what I love about this show. We can travel all over the world and still call in and do a show. So we're excited for today. We're so grateful for the opportunity to always be able to come on the show and talk to you guys. This is a real powerful segment that we're bringing on tonight. I'm praying that we can be a blessing to those who are hearing. We thank you again. So listen, we want you to call in at 646-668-8485. 646-668-8485 with your questions or your comments. We would love to hear from you guys. Also, don't forget to go on and like us on the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran at Facebook. And then also hit us up on Instagram, the Marriage Playbook. Also, we're telling you, go send your emails, your questions, comments to the Marriage Playbook at gmail.com. Listen, press one. If you're in the queue, we thank you for listening, but press one, and then you can be live on the show. So, look, we're going to get ready to get started, and I'm just pumped about what's going on, and we are going to get this show started.
Yep, Marriage Playbook Season 4, Game 10, and our title is For Worth. You know, it's part of our marriage vows that we recite, and the marriage vows was taken directly from the Word of God. Is predicated on the Word of God, on the eternal covenant of marriage. So then we make these promises to each other because that's what marriage is. It's a covenant between a man, woman, and God. So then we say, in sickness and in health. But what happens when things aren't better and it's for worse? Because once you get married, you experience difficult challenges. Because life happens to everybody. Life is a journey. And when you get married, that's somebody that's having couples on your journey. So now, you're in a life journey together. So carefully, there will be many good times and few bad times. And the promise is made in our vows and marriages that we would stay together through better or through worse. Now, this area of the marriage stage is specified to endure when things are at its absolute worst. What do you do when it's worse? Well, how do you make it better? This is what we're going to do. We're going to go through commercials. We're going to come back with the show. You know, 646-668-8485. If you have any comments, we'll answer some comments from last week's show. But we will come back and start this show as soon as we come back from this commercial break.
Come out.
Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out joeytweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
Okay, so we want to talk about last week's comment that we... Especially if you haven't been out on a date in a very long time, you know, you start projecting already about what this person would be like and all of this, and you get caught up. So I like what you said. This is Sheila from Detroit, comments from last week. We thank you for that. And now we have a comment from Randy from Troy, Michigan. My wife and I were best friends for a few years plus, and then when we got engaged, then we started dating after. Then we got married 7 months later, and we are still dating for almost 23 years and loving it. And let me tell you something, that is wonderful. See, and I love testimonies like this, and I really encourage people to continue to send in your testimonies, because I'm quite sure even out of the 23 years of marriages, they had some challenges. They had some things that they had to endure, you know, but I guarantee it was the communication, you know, being able to, even at its worst, be able to come together and come to a solution for what we're going to do, you know. So, listen, we're going to dig into this segment. Thank you so much for your comments. Please call in 646-668-8485, 646-668-8485. Don't forget to press 1. And this is the Marriage Playbook, Season 4, Game 10 Forwards. Coach Aaron.
All right. Let's get into it. Okay. What do you do when it's too worse? Okay. Now, here's the first thing. The first segment is this. It's called this. We call it laying the blame. When things don't work out, and this happens in business, this happens in relationships, this happens in sports, it happens in everything. When things don't work out, what we look for is the weak link. We try to find out who's to blame, or whose fault is it, who's at fault with this. Now, if things are bad in your marriage, it's not your spouse. I know that sounds crazy. It's not your spouse. I'm going to tell you why. Because it was your decision who, how, and when you decided to get married. So it's not your spouse. Now, I said this in the show before, when you get married, this my situation is over. It's our thing. So if I have a drinking problem, my wife and I have a drinking problem. She might not be drinking a drop, but because she's one with me, we got a drinking problem. Why? Because we got to solve this thing together, or it's not going to get solved. One, I'm going to need support from her because I have a problem. Okay? She's going to need to buckle down and help me with my problem, and vice versa. Okay, so we got to stop looking for who is at fault. It's not your spouse, you know. Part of the problem was your decision. And we have to take responsibility for the part that we played in anything that's happened bad. When things happen good, we can't take the blame for when things happen good. Every time something's good, it's me. So when things are bad, guess what? It's me.
Show Coach Eric doesn't even know, or we both do know, that when we do these shows, Coach Eric and I, we don't sit around and talk about the shows, and it's so ironic how he just came right out, because for the past couple of days, this is what was laid on my heart. It was laid on my heart that, what was laid on my heart is how I saw or I know couples, really good friends of ours, even people I've just met in restaurants and just different places. And what I've seen, and women and men who were honest about their situation, they were able to honestly come out and say, you know what, I disobeyed God. You know, the Lord laid it on my heart and showed signs, and he told me not to marry this individual, and I did it anyway. You know, so one of the purposes or the reasons why I'm sticking in it, because I believe God, for one, for my spouse, that the Lord is going to deliver that person. And for two, I still love this person, but I know now we need to work it out, or we need to help, or whatever the case may be, like Coach Aaron said. Now, the thing that always makes my noodle is that what happens sometimes is when we marry out of the will of God, now we want to hurry up and get out of it, and then we don't have patience for the individual or individuals. We don't have patience anymore. We say we don't love them anymore. We say all these things because now we just want out. You know, I find that people who are in these situations no longer are trying to even hear the counsel of God. Now it's, you know, I want out and I don't want to hear nothing else. I think I suffered long enough, you know, and guaranteed that may be the case. But now you're trying to tell God that the punishment of your disobedience, that this is the length of it, God, and I don't want to deal with it anymore, you know? And it's unfair, like Coach Eric said, if you were the one that made that decision, listen, nobody could tell you nothing. Nobody could counsel you. Nobody could correct you. No one could instruct you. I mean, the word of God came over the pulpit. People walked up to you. And then we just say, oh, no, we're going to do this. And then soon as it goes south, we're ready to just ship and jump bail, but we won't take the same scripture, you know, because I love this, and this is what stuck with me the most. You know, it's a very dangerous place to have known you've done this thing, because now you have to operate the word of God from another angle, you know. So what do I mean? I mean this. I just looked this scripture up because it's been on my heart. NIV version. It says, and this is 1 Peter 3:1. It says, wives, in the same way, submit yourself to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words, but by the behavior of their wives. And I find a lot of times we just want out, but no one ever does this scripture here, you know? And it's not a bad thing, but if we want things to work out, now we got to take the scripture and find a solution. I mean, put it where it's supposed to be, and now we got to work from the other way because we didn't take the scriptures and do it the way that God had intended it from the beginning, you know?
I'm going to try to address it this way. I'm going to do my best to try to explain love and happiness, what I'm going to explain. Love and happiness. I'm trying to explain love and happiness, because when things are worse, you forget about love and happiness. Let me try to explain it as best I can. Okay? Now, the love that God has for is the unconditional love. It's love in spite of. It's not love if you buy me a car. It's not love if you buy me a house. It's not love if you pay the bills. It's not love if you get sick, I don't love you no more. It's love unconditional. Okay? And love, believe it or not, is a responsibility of each individual in the marriage who made the covenant. You have to decide to love. Now, when we get twisted, we think that the in love part is love. That's romance. That's not in love. That's romance. They make me feel good, so I'm in love. No, that's romance. That's infatuation. Love is, in spite of, I'm deciding to love this person only. It is the commitment. That's what love is. Now, happiness is the same way. The Bible said, no matter what state you're in, to be content. Okay, content. That means not satisfied, just you're not complaining about what you don't have. Okay? You're not looking at what you don't have. It's a matter of the glass being half full or half empty. It's how you decide to think about it. So love and happiness is a decision that we both have to make. I got to decide to love my wife. I got to make a decision. In spite of how she made me feel this week, in spite of what she said to hurt my feelings, I'm going to love her. Remember how Jesus loved us? Even when we was killing him.
And I love the way the angle he came about it, because that's the thing that was laid on my heart too, is that, you know, how are we treating that individual? Even, listen, they may have hurt us. They may have done things to us. Let us down, it might have been discouraging, all kinds of stuff may have taken place, you know. But now, again, I'm going back to this dangerous place, because what happens is now if you made the choice to continue to stay with an individual, now you have to work, again, like I said, the word of God to begin to love this person in spite of all that. And that's very hard to do, you know. But Coach Eric said that's real love. You know, that's very hard to do, because you know the thing that happens, you see bitterness, you see anger, and then some people stay with the spouse because now you're trying to actually get back at them. So let me tell you, that's what I mean when I said that's a dangerous place, because God sees everything. You know, God sees if you're trying to get back at that person. God sees if you're trying to hold that person accountable for what they did to you, you know, that you haven't fully turned it over to God so God can have his way, you know. And I'm telling you, I see it all the time. Folks be married for years and years, but you're still making that person pay for what they did 20 years ago, you know. So now, you know, instead of coming to a conclusion of making things better, having true forgiveness, you know, asking God how to deal with this now that I'm at this place, you know. I mean, if you love the person, just be honest and say, Lord, I love him. I went through this, but God, you're the only one that can do this, you know. You're the only one. Show me through your word. And that's why I read this scripture, because one of the things is when you're bitter, when you're mad, when you're hurt, when you're disappointed, your behavior changes. You know, your behavior change, your conversation change, the respect is not there, you know. And guess what else? When you're holding on to all that person, even if they're trying, nothing they do is going to satisfy you, because you're still mad at what happened. And guess what? They will stop trying, you know, because every time they try a little bit, and then we won't continue to encourage or do things to continue to motivate the marriage to be better. You know, so, I mean, it's a lot that goes with this. We don't have all the answers, and you won't get it all tonight, but we're going to continue.
All right, the book of Psalms, Psalm 1. All right, I'll do the Sunday school lesson on that just this past Sunday. Okay, it starts out this way. Say first, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. And here's the part that he will forget, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, I want to bring your attention to the feet of this corner. When the person is scorned, they tell you he was done wrong. And now they're sitting there in anger by the man on the wing. The other spouse holds that over that individual's head. Okay, now you're sitting in the feet of the corner. You're mad at that individual. You still, instead of just reading, you're standing there trying to cause misery. Now you're responsible for his or her destroying on your own. Because I'm going to tell you another thing, when you do that, you're not happy either. You can do all those things, and you only get that, you sit in your seat of scornful, you're not happy either. Why? The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not, or sitteth not, but you sit in that scornful seat, mad at him because he messed up, instead of finding your way to God and being forgiven like your father. So we can get the voice in the mind of our father when our emotions are attacked in any kind of way. Again, is your love selfish or sacrificial? It's two kinds of love. It's sacrificial love. That means I lay down my life for my wife. I sacrifice my life for my wife. I'm not selfish toward. I don't just want things my way. Or when things are upset, I lack or don't show patience. Okay? Okay, call in 646-668-8485. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with the show.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills. Over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right. I'm sorry about that. Okay, when we left off, we were talking about conditional love and unconditional love, the difference. What we try to do is set up. We're going to try to come to some type of solution. We can't get it all tonight, but we're going to try to come to some kind of solution. What do you do when things are for worse? Okay, so what we're doing is we're laying the foundation of the mindset of what's going on when things are worse. You know, and it all boils down to, we need to learn how to love each other. We need to learn how to be happy together. And we need to go to God to help us individually so we can come together collectively and do this thing as a team. Love and happiness takes teamwork. And when one person is doing most of the work, they're going to get tired. Okay? And if you don't forgive your husband, don't forgive your wife or something that happened in the past, they're going to get tired of trying hard because nothing they do is going to be right. And you can't hold a person hostage like that. It's better to leave somebody alone and say, we can't make it work, than to try to make it work and not make it work. You understand? We're going to keep in despair, keep despair as the forefront of our marriage, and that's not a good thing.
And I love what Coach Eric said, because that's the thing that keeps sticking out to me. If you're going to stay in the marriage, then you have, as an individual, have an obligation to continue on in God's word and how to do things. I find and see a lot of times there's no date night anymore. The other thing I see a lot of, because we don't want to be home with the individual, we're always out doing other things and being busy, you know, even especially ministry, you know. So then we make the spouse who's unsaved, who does not know the word of God, who's not totally into Christ, whether it's a male or female, what happens is they begin to start getting jealous because they don't understand, this same God that we're in covenant with marriage, he would have you be all over the place and then you not be home, you know, house not clean, food not cooked, you know, there's no love being displayed. Again, I go back to this verse, you know, it says through your conversation. You know, do your chase conversation. In the NIV version, it says, wives, in the same way, submit yourself to your own husband so that if any of them do not believe the word, what? They're not a believer. They're not in church. They haven't surrendered their lives. In a lot of situations, we see that the husband got saved or the wife got saved and they're in church, but the spouse isn't. So now, because you married that individual and that's what you wanted to do, God allowed it, you know, it was a decision, it was a choice, fine. But now you got to work the scripture from the other end now so that individual would be saved. You know, we can't, you know, we have to be fair. Seriously, I want to be fair because I don't want to make it seem like I'm taking up for the person who did wrong, you know. But we can't continue to say that we're a child of God or we're children of God and we love the Lord and all of this, and then we lack the patience, we lack the compassion, we lack the instruction, we lack these things when it comes to us having our household in order. Because you can't really or should be really doing any type of ministry. And that's for a man or a woman. The other thing, Coach Eric said, that really stuck out to me is, you know, how giving a person and not keeping them in hostage or in bondage to what they have done, because you actually are keeping yourself in bondage. You know, you're in bondage, you know, and you'll find it. Never happy, you know, conversation is always. So I know if you're giving off that conversation to people just every day, I can imagine what's going on at home. You know, you're telling me you're going home and you're being sweet and everything, but then you're nasty. Or you're fighting, or you always got stuff going on. You know what I mean? So it's about you as an individual being able to stop and say, you know what, God, that hurt me. You know, it really disappointed me. You know, and I'm talking about go to God for real, you know, and you hit that about counsel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know what I find out? who you listening to, you know? Because any man or woman of God in their right mind would never give you counsel against your marriage, you know? Not against your marriage. And you know what I found out? I found out this. When you open your marriage to too many people, I don't care who it is, when you open up your marriage to too many people, you are actually let folks, and not only that, you let folks into an intimate part of the relationship that nobody should know or should be interested in. Unless you are in counsel, and it should be you and your husband or you and your wife, you should be in counsel together. Now, I understand because we feel like, oh, we need to vent and things like that, but some stuff you should not say, because what we do is we don't understand that we opened up a door for the enemy, and now the enemy know where to fight you at. So now even the prayers that you believe in for God to do what he needs to do is a big fight now, you know, because can I just be honest? It's things that me and Coach Aaron go through. I don't care how much I love people. They will never be in the intimate part of our relationship. They will never know. Never. Love you, but you'll never know. You'll never know. And it's things we go through. That's why we're away now. Lord God, thank you. You know, we're waiting in the great city of Virginia, Virginia Beach, fireplaces on, because we needed some time. It's some things that people know we've been through, because as of a testimony, but it's some things people don't know that we've been through. And we speak because these are things that could have destroyed our marriage, you know? But I'm never going to open up that intimate part of my marriage to anyone, because now I make the fight worse instead of me putting my face to God and asking God to strengthen me, show me how to make things better. You know, now I'm fighting my flesh. I'm fighting him. I'm fighting the situation. Now I'm doing all this fighting, and nothing is being resolved.
Let me show you the danger in it. The danger is when God fixes your marriage, you done put all this ammunition out there now. The old folks put it this way. They say airing your dirty laundry. You don't air dirty laundry. You wash dirty laundry, and you put the laundry out when it's clean. But you don't put dirty underwear on the line so everybody can see. Say, man, this guy is nasty. This girl is nasty. No, you don't do it like that. You don't put it out there. So now when y'all get yourselves together and God bless and y'all come together, now it's people that know stuff about you that should have never known that about you. Now y'all got to fight against that. You see what I mean? Okay, which let me segue into the next segment. And the next segment is called The Great Opportunity. Now, what are we talking about? Now, I want to talk to, sometimes when we get in marriage, you have one partner that's a believer and the other partner is not a believer, right? The unsaved husband, the unsaved wife. Okay, now, here is your great opportunity to let Jesus shine in your life, okay? Because while you're out there doing ministry and winning souls, one of the first souls you need to win is your spouse. Yeah, your spouse or your family, your household. You know, we got to be the minister strong there. Now, if you're the spiritual one in the relationship, you know what the word of God says, how you win your husband, how you win your wife. Okay, you got to show your unsaved loved one more love and more patience than they even deserve in order to win them to Christ. And what happens is that we don't want to work that hard. Once we get in a relationship and we see things ain't working and it's too much for you to deal with, you don't want to work hard no more. You don't want to come home and be obedient or be submissive to that husband when that husband is out drinking beers with the fellas or not coming home at night or spending the money or he got some kind of problem or substance abuse. You don't want to deal with that. But that's who you're married to. You're married. It's part of who you are. And you got to go to God and work through that. Okay, now here's your time to let Jesus shine in your life. And guess what? The thing about God is just like Jesus, the Holy Ghost, they are gentlemen. They are not going to force their way into your situation. What are you saying? They're not going to force their way. You know, you got to invite God in to fix a situation. He is not going to supersede your will because he gave you free will. So if you want to work out the plan of God for your marriage, you got to submit yourself to what the word of God says yourself. So you can't ask your wife to be submissive if you're not submissive to the word of God. And then you can't ask God to fix or come to a solution with your problem if you don't use the solution that God gave you. And when you go get that counsel from your pastor or for somebody that is spiritual, and they tell you what to do concerning the word of God, and you're too lazy or don't feel like doing it or don't think they're worth doing it, and your husband and your wife stays in that situation, guess what? That's your fault. That's your fault. Why? Because you haven't put that foot forward, right? So that shows a lack of faith and then a lack of desire to work. And guess what it also shows? And this is important. It shows that you really don't have the love of Christ. And you need to be worked on yourself. And let me show you this. And this is no indictment. I just got to be real with you. One of the problems is you really had a problem even in your decision making, or you wouldn't have made the decision that you made. So you got to accept that part of yourself, that there was something wrong with me when I made the decision I made, because if I was really submissive to God and in the will of God, you know, not only would I have seen the signs, I would have been obedient to the counsel that I got, especially if you disobeyed counsel. Now, some things just happened. Everything is not etched in stone. Everything doesn't just work that way. Some things just happen. It's still the challenge that you have to meet, and it is your great opportunity to let Jesus shine in your life.
I love that, Coach Eric, and that's the whole thing in a nutshell. You know, if you want God to come in and to transform it, and I know he can, we've seen plenty of situations. We've seen situations where people were on heroin for, 20, 30-something years, and a wife was in church praying for her husband, and this man of God is a powerful, powerful man of God, with a powerful, powerful testimony, and he goes all throughout the city of Philadelphia, all around, telling his testimony and how God used his wife, how she was submissive and how she was obedient, and even she came home and cooked and did things and all kinds of stuff. That is such a powerful testimony. Coach Eric is reaching for the mic. He's reaching for the mic.
Let me show you how deep this brother's testimony is, and I might even get them on the show because they will be great. Okay. Now, this brother was in court. He told this story many times in his testimony. This brother was in court, and the judge told his wife that he was a bum and you need to leave him.
Wow.
Now, the judge said this to him, and that woman said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to leave him. I'm going to pray for him. Now, that man is a powerful elder and a man of God, living the word of God, preaching and preaching the gospel. Matter of fact, he was one of the great teachers that taught me the word of God, great man of God. And I think I'm going to try to get him on the show to give his testimony, him and his wife, because I'm telling you, people need to hear this, because they were in a situation that was worse, and now it's better than it's ever been.
That's right. Okay.
You know, so we got to believe God on his word, okay? We got to believe God for face value on his word, you know? What are we going to do when we face difficult opposition? How do we react to the life's challenges? It's like a ship in the ocean. We must stay the course. Even in tempestuous weather conditions, we got to stay the course and believe God. It's an exercise of faith. When things are bad, it's an exercise of faith. Do you believe your situation, or do you believe God? You got to make that decision. Who do you believe? Whose report do you believe? Now, when things are at its worst, we will need some character along with some courage. I'm not going to lie to you. It boils down to this. Are you a promised people? Because your wedding vows supersede and are supposed to be performed in spite of your circumstances. Did you know that? In spite of your circumstances, these vows are expected to be performed. God is watching it. And the excuses we make are no excuses. Now, the Jesus in you comes out when the obstacles are extreme. When things are at its worst, the Jesus in you rises to the top, but you got to let it. You got to allow the word to work in your life. Now, look, I sympathize with you because I know it's not, we've been in that. It's not an easy thing. It takes some fortitude. You really got to trust God. And guess what? Sometimes God is trying to bring you closer by dropping you on your knees by your circumstance, bringing you closer to him than you ever were before. And you'll find yourself being very close to God in these difficult times. Okay, so the obstacles will expose what is in you. And Christ in you when you are in him. It's going to expose the Christ in you when you are in him. I'm going to say it again. It's going to expose the Christ that is in you when you are in him. You understand that? Now, if the Christ does not come out of you, you got to try to get in him. In other words, your solution is always Jesus. Jesus is always the solution to the problem. That's why he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and know knowledge means relationship. You should know the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus. And the truth will do what? Make you free. Free from what? The yoke of bondage, whatever it may be. So are we an overcomer or are we not? When it comes to marriage, it's such a touchy thing. We decide that it's so personal that we don't want to overcome this situation. We'd rather get out than overcome. Look, man, I've been there. I know what that's like. You'd rather get out than overcome. You'd rather stay married to your spouse and talk about them the rest of your life and then move on. You'd rather do that. Okay, that's the easy way out.
Really, that's dangerous. Because even once you get out, you still have to forgive them. We think that once we get out, we get a divorce, we ain't got to deal with it no more. But you're still walking around, you're still bitter, you're still angry. You know, you still have to forgive that individual, even if that's your choice, you know. And again, you know, every issue and every situation, every circumstance is different. But we do not advocate divorce. Why? Because we know God can fix any situation. Now, have me and Coach Eric both been divorced? We told you guys this when we first started this program. You know, we had no idea why would God even use us to be able to do a program, to be able to bring information. But because of the mistakes we made, because of, like, Coach Eric's testimony, if you heard his testimony, how the Lord warned him and told him not to marry the person he married. And with me, I was young without Christ and got married. So it was a combination of that and then our testimony together. I mean, there was vows that I was, and he did too, that we were never going to marry anybody if God did not ordain it. So if God did not ordain this marriage, I would not be with Coach Eric. You know, I would have just kept serving the Lord and went on about my life, you know. But my thing is, when things are at its worst, doesn't mean that you have to give up. And if you're going to give up, you have to make sure that it's the will of God. It can't be because you're tired and you don't want to deal with it anymore. Because I say this all the time. And when I talk to women, like I said, I talk to a lot of women. They might ask me, and sometimes they may not. The Lord may lay it on my heart, you know. And sometimes people aren't ready really to hear, when, especially when you're going through something. But the thing that the Lord showed me was this. Even when God speaks to you and say to you, whether it's your husband or your wife, the Lord is going to save them. The Lord is going to raise them up. The Lord is going to bless. The Lord is going to do this, that, and the other. Just because you leave them and you divorce them, what God spoke for their life ain't going to change. Okay. So when that person, you're not with that person no more, and the Lord begin to bless that person, and they might get married again and go on with their life, we looking like, well, man, well, why you couldn't be together when, I hear it all the time, why couldn't you get yourself together when we was together? Well, what it was is you didn't wait for God to finish working things out in that person's life. You gave up. You gave up. You didn't hold on. You didn't believe God, you know? And I'm not being facetious, because, listen, we've all been in some painful situations and when it came to marriage, you know. But again, you know, if God laid on your heart and lead you, and, you know, everybody's situation, like I said, is different, and he's telling you that. But like I tell everybody, don't make a move unless you hear from God, unless you know that that's what God is telling you. But don't do it in your flesh. Don't do it because you're mad. Don't do it because you're tired. Don't do it because you're just ready to give up, because you're ready to move on. I hear a lot of people all the time, I'm ready to move on, you know. And I'm like, well, what are you going to move on to? Are you going to move on and be better? Are you trying to move on and get somebody else when you need to be healed in your present situation? Like, what are you, you know, what kind of moving are you talking about doing, you know? So even with that, you know, the mindset of why we're doing things, you know, we could end up actually in a worse position than we are in. So if you're going to make decisions, let those decisions be of God this time. You know, don't ignore what God is saying about what you should and you shouldn't do. Because God is ultimately the one that's not only going to change, deliver, heal, and set free. God is going to be the one that cover you if God tell you that it's time for you to get out. God will cover you. You know, God will protect you. God will deal with you. And guess what? It ain't over. Because then after that, you're really going to go through a test. You're going to really go through some trials and some stuff. You know, because now you're single and now you have to fight your flesh. You know, so you're fighting your flesh now because you're refusing to have sex. Not because you don't have to, because you're not with that individual. There's a difference. You know, I'm just being real. Because we gotta be fair when it comes to this. When we made the decision to do it against God's will, it's different.
Yeah. Man, let me tell you something. You know, she said a mouthful right there. You know what I mean? She said a mouthful right there. So we're coming to you live in Virginia Beach, the wonderful resort founders in spa and resort, beautiful place in the back. You can go on Google the founders in spa and resort. Wonderful place to come and unwind on vacation with friends. Okay, this is Love Fest 2018.
Yeah.
You know, we spend time together. Okay, we're getting to my next slogan. Okay, now here's another solution. When things are worse, this is what we must start doing. It's called love building. You know, love building. And believe it or not, the adversity that you have in your mind right now, if you work it, it's going to make you stronger than ever. You know, it's going to make you stronger than ever. So you're going to come back, you know, and we'll get to the last segment.
Come out. Looks like the referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to the Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, PastorMike@cclohio.com. Again, that's PastorMike@cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
Yeah, man, we left off with love building, all right? Here's part of the solution when things are worse, okay? Like I said, when people go through adversity together, sometimes when we use this adversity, it makes our relationship stronger than ever. Individuals who fought wars together, they always have the closest bonds because they was in adversity together. They faced danger together, so they became close. So when you're in a marriage that has difficulties and has challenges, if you fight your way in that war, because that's what it is, understand that, you know, because marriage is a God thing, I say this all the time, marriage is a God thing. The devil thing is to destroy a marriage, so we got to keep the devil out of our marriage. And the devil comes in sometimes when we let him in or people we let in. Try to destroy our marriage. So there's opposition the moment you say I do, and we got to understand there's spiritual opposition against marriage because marriage is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual God bond, and the enemy hates anything that looks like God.
And you're so right, Coach Eric, and this is how come when you were just living together, when you were just, you know, everything was beautiful. Wasn't nothing coming up against you. Wasn't no fight. But the moment you said, I do, now both of your eyes opened up to how you were when you were just, you know, and you're saying, well, man, I didn't know you were like that, or I didn't know this was like that. And because sometimes we choose to blind our eyes to who the person really is. And then all we want to do is just enjoy the moment when it's like that. But the enemy is never going to attack you when you're doing something against God's will. It's only until you get married, now the challenge is coming. Now the fight is coming.
Right.
You know, because the enemy mad, first
saved.
Of all, same as when you get saved. He mad because now you chose to begin to do the right thing.
Right.
You know, you began to do the right thing. And so I thought about something you said, Coach Eric, again, about the Love Fest. You know, you got to now work it. Now, I mean, and listen, it may be harder than you can ever imagine, you know. And I talked to Coach Eric, and this is why we went away. Well, actually, Coach Eric made the decision. Me and Coach Eric for the past 3.5 years have suffered some things. I don't want to give it all away, but look for the book this year. It's called For Better or For Worse. I'm sorry, it's called In Sickness and in Health,
right.
The Vow I Kept. And the Lord is allowing me to finish that book. It's going to bless you guys, and it's going to tell a lot of the things that me and Coach Eric been through. So what we're talking now, we're not just talking, but we experienced it.
Right.
And Coach Eric came to me and said, I need to take you away, you know. And I said to Coach Eric, I said, you know, the Lord had healed Coach Eric. And I said, you know, babe, you know, you're healing, you're recovering. And I'm talking to him like that just as a way of encouragement. And he stopped me. And he said, no, no, no. He said, I want to correct you. He said, because I see you say that all the time. He said, but I need you to know that we are recovering, you know. Like he said, you know, I wasn't in it by myself, neither was he. So we're both recovering. And what you got to watch is when things are going on in your marriage or before it goes on, you better make sure that you have the reins on your marriage and do what's best for your marriage. You know, me and Coach Eric, I don't think could have went another 2-3 months and not get away. You know, and so Coach Eric said, I'm making an executive decision that this is what we're going to do. And I said, okay, you know, I'm not going to fight you on that. I could use a little vacation in between, you know. But that's when you got to know that things done got so, you know, it gets tight.
Yes.
You know, challenges come. And me and Coach Eric love each other, so I'm not saying we're going after each other and against each other. I'm talking about just everyday life and things that we had to encounter to uphold one another, to strengthen one another. So I know what it's like when you have to hold on and you're fighting, you know? You're fighting, you're holding on, you know? And then the first thing is you got to fight yourself to want to do the right thing. You know, and I'm being honest because I was starting to be a snappy, bitter, nasty person. And Coach Eric had to tell me that. So can I keep it real?
I did.
This marriage thing is real. But through God's word, God is the one that can come in and transform and change everything. And like he said, if you submit to the will of God and what God is telling you to do, his instructions always work. And that takes me to the story of Naaman. Naaman was a captain. He was a host of the king of Syria. You know, he was a great man. He was a master, and he was honorable. But guess what? He had an issue. He had leprosy. He was a leper, you know. And the thing I think about all the time is when we want to be healed and God give us instructions or God give us instructions through the man of God or the woman of God, we don't want to follow the instructions. And instructions was for Naaman to go bit 7 times in the Jordan. And sometimes we forget that we needed God so bad. I just said this at a women's meeting. We forget we need God so bad because of the instructions. We don't like them. So now we're complaining about how we should get healed, when we should get healed, how we should do it. Naaman was like, well, I thought the man of God was going to come out, lay hands on me. I thought he was going to do this. I thought he was going to do that. You know, we have our own perceived notion of how God want to do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is obey the instructions, and we're going to see the manifestation of the blessings of God concerning our situation. So I just pray right now that you guys be encouraged out there. You know, take your husband away. Take your wife away. Get away from everybody.
Kids, everything.
Get away from the children.
Yep.
You know, step away from ministry for a minute. You better get away and be with your spouse and let you guys throughout the day or the days or whatever days you're going to be together, revamp your household, revamp your ministry, revamp your businesses, revamp things. What's going on? Are we doing too much in this area where we're not being effective? Do we need to pull back and do this? What do we need to do? How are we going to change this so we can have a successful marriage for the year 28 and to continue on? You know, it has to be done. You have to do it.
What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And that means the both of you. You know, let no man, it's not just somebody from the outside. People inside the marriage got to stay together. And you got to make sure that you don't separate each other or do things to make each other be separated. And if you feel like you want to separate, these are the times we need to try to get closer. And I know it's not easy. Hardships and all kinds of adversities, these are the times when we should hold on to each other the strongest. You know, I need that to sink me to think about that. You know, and then when the good times begin to come back around, we're going to appreciate it with a high level of sweetness. So things are going to get good. You know, life comes at us in seasons. It's like getting in a roller coaster. You got to strap yourself in a roller coaster because you're going up, you're going to go down, you're going to twist to the right, you're going to twist, you might even do a loop, you know. But that's how life is, and that's how we got to navigate obstacles that come our way, because life and chance happens to us all.
That's right.
Okay. Yes. Sometimes you can do everything right in the marriage. It's just circumstances can cause things to be stressed. What do you mean? Somebody might get sick. You know, what do you do in the marriage when you can't have sex no more?
That's right. Come on, Coach Eric.
You know what I mean? You know, there's health issues there. So do you just give up on him or her because no sex now? You know, is that why you got married, to have sex? Because it was just sex. You know, these are things you think about. That's why it says for better, for worse, in sickness, health. Why? Because even God knows stuff is going to happen in the marriage. You got a whole life together. Everything is not going to be perfect when both of you was 22 or both of you was 20. Somebody's going to get older. You know what happens when you get older? Your libido starts slowing down a little bit. You're not as frisky as you was when you was 25. Not when you're 50. Things change a little bit, okay? It was once or twice or three or four times a day, it might be four times a year now. God forbid, but these are things that you got to consider, you know? And then where's the love there when things get worse? So this is what we got to think about, you know? And let me finish and close by saying this. The purpose of marriage, and I've said this before, this might be the third time I said this. The purpose of marriage is to glorify God. Marriage is the snapshot of the kingdom of God. It's the church. Why do you think God established that first? Before he established any type of government, the first thing he established is what? Marriage. And he established marriage as oneness. He created he, them, both male and female. He created the woman from the man. So they're made up of the same thing. So when they come together, when they join together and form this union, they become one flesh. The Bible says it's a mystery how two become one flesh. Now, it's not the both of y'all, it's y'all now, it's one. Now, this team, this oneness, this one person with four legs and four arms and two heads, well, really one head, because one head got listed to the other head. Four heads, it's two heads, four legs, four arms, y'all one person now. And y'all got to move and act and operate as one. And you can't allow circumstances, selfishness, deficiencies in character to mess up the oneness that God has created with the both of you. You got to kind of work it out, okay? And you got to go to God to get the help to work it out. And that's all I got to say tonight, you know? It's tough and it's hard, but God is in the business of restoring. And we forget about that. This is what God does. He restores. He restores years. He restores the things that you lose. Look through the Bible. God is always restoring something that was lost. And when it comes to marriage, he's waiting because it's his thing. He is waiting to restore your situation and even restore the love back to its rightful place towards one another, towards one another.
Listen, this is a marriage playbook. I'm praying that someone was blessed today. And like I said, I'm blessed. Every time I go in here, I'm blessed. So, look, we love you guys. We're praying for everyone that's listening. We're praying for your marriages. We're praying for your families. We're praying that success will be in the homes, you know. And I'm praying that God will fortify you, that God will strengthen you to go forward in his word and that things will be better. Please obey the instructions. Never judge your disobedience according to how long you think it should be because, or your punishment because of you disobeying a thing with God. Don't weigh it like that. Just say, God, I trust you, and be honest. Lord, I messed up. You know, sometimes we don't want to say to God, I messed up. Lord, I messed up. It's messed up. God, I love him. God, I know you can do it. And just stay right. And Lord, help me.
That's it. It's a simple prayer.
You know, it ain't deep.
Help me.
You know, it really isn't deep. Lord, help me. Help me and show me what to do. And then when you have to do it, you have to be consistent. You know, you can't cook for a whole week and then for the next 3 weeks you don't feel like cooking because he did something. You know, so it can't be tick for tack and up and down. It has to be consistent. You have to show God that it's coming from a heart and it's coming from the place of now I want to be obedient to your will, God, so you can turn this thing around and save my family.
And man, get in the kitchen. Why don't you cook sometime?
Amen. It should be a connection. Yeah, we got to help each other.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Wash the clothes. Wash some dishes.
Yeah,
sweep
man.
The floor. Put the
Work.
Trash out. Come on.
You
know? That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, look, this is the Marriage Playbook. Go look us up on www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. Listen, we are under an awesome media company, production company, PJC Media.
Yes.
So we have some wonderful, wonderful people that we want you to listen to. Also, go on and listen to Dovetails by Deborah on Sundays at 2:30 p.m. Parker J. Cole show, that's on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Let's Talk About It with Jenny White, and that's on Fridays at 8 p.m. Again, Parker Cole show on Saturdays at 2 p.m. This is the Marriage Playbook on Mondays, and that's at 7 p.m. Listen, if you are in the city of Philadelphia, please look us up at the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church. That's Philadelphia, PA, 19133, 2234 North Front Street, with an honorable, respectable, teaching woman of God, Bishop Dr. Joanne Dixon. Please come out and visit us. Also, listen, have fun. Be blessed. Life is short. Enjoy your family. Love on someone today. Most of all, people, please take a vacation.
Yeah.
Amen. Take a vacation. So me and Coach Eric, we're out. We're going to enjoy the rest of our time, and we're going to talk about some things so we can make our marriage better. Amen.
Right.
And look, we're going to do that right here in Virginia Beach.
Right, if you're in Virginia Beach, the Founders Inn Spa and Resort is the place to come. Reasonable, great food, great atmosphere. You know, the 700 Club is right next door. Okay, even go to church. All right, good place to come and worship, retreat. All right, so listen, right now we're going to retreat into our vacation.
Have a blessed night, everybody. Yes. Thank you for tuning in. Please continue to pray for us. We need your prayers.
Yes.
We thank you so much. Have a good night. Bye.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.